You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
Yes, so reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 29, on page 972. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognise them. Do you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognise them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he talked as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
It's great to see you this morning, and it'd be great if you had a Bible. Grabbed a Bible, there should be one nearby. Proverbs chapter 1, page 635. Page 635, Proverbs 1. And let's pray together. Father God, we've just sung words of the wise who were steered by the Spirit. These are the scriptures. On them we rely. Our Heavenly Father, our prayer this morning is that we would be wise and not foolish. Please help us to see that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please make us wise in him. And please help us to live wisely in his world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to a parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 12. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Now, that parable has a real sting in the tail, doesn't it? Because from the world's point of view, that man was anything but a fool. He was clearly bright. He'd clearly done well. He'd built a successful agricultural business. But he lived for the business, for the money, for the good life. And suddenly, there's a searing pain in his chest, and he drops dead. And he has to front up to God. And God says to him, "You fool." Imagine hearing God say that on the day of judgment. How much better to hear God say, "You wise, faithful servant." In the Bible, the word fool does not mean you lack intelligence or skills. You lack the ability to see and understand what really matters in God's world. That is what it means to be rich towards God, to fear God. And you lack the inclination to act on what really matters. That is what it means to be foolish. To use another word, you lack wisdom. And this morning is the beginning of lessons in being wise and being foolish. We take a break from the book of Corinthians. We're going to be back there on Easter Sunday morning to finish that great book off. But today we look at part of the Bible's wisdom literature, the book of Proverbs. And there are three books in the Old Testament that are known as wisdom literature: Ecclesiastes, Job, and Proverbs. And we're going to spend some weeks looking in Proverbs, and I hope to stimulate you to read and to meditate on the Proverbs through the next few weeks, and indeed for all of your lives. And my first heading is this: that wisdom is for living wisely in God's world. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 1 of this book of Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Solomon was a king of Israel who had to make wise decisions. But there are not just Solomon's wise sayings in this book. In chapters 22 and 25, we have other proverbs, including some by King Hezekiah. A proverb is just a wise saying. Indeed, let me say that before this service started, I wrote a proverb. It is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. It won't go into Scripture, but it's this: better a photocopier full of paper than anxiety early in the morning. On Sunday morning, I asked Kate, who's our very efficient administrator, to make sure the photocopy is full of paper on a Sunday morning. She does, you see. Better a photocopier full of paper than anxiety early in the morning. It's just a wise saying. Now, this teaching does have the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit behind it. This teaching is about living wisely in God's world. And wisdom is portrayed as a wise woman. Look at verse 20. This is wonderful. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. This is wisdom observed and lived out in God's world. Now think about the decisions that you have to make. There are some decisions that are right and wrong. Imagine someone says to you, "I'm finding my boss is often angry and very difficult to get on with. Please pray about whether I shall murder him or not." Now, I hope that in doing the one another's that Maria's just been talking about, we might turn to the Ten Commandments to show that that is a morally wrong course of action. Do not murder your boss. But many decisions are about things that are not directly about right and wrong. Much more likely, the person will say, how should I deal with a boss who is angry? We need wisdom to make a decision that reflects insight into the way that we tick and the way that others tick and the circumstances that we're in and so on. We need wisdom from above. Now, these proverbs, as we'll see, are general principles. They don't always work, but the writer has observed that they often do. This is about what life is like in God's created order. Perhaps you are facing an angry person this week, a boss, a parent, a motorist. Just look with me at chapter 15, verse 1. We're going to do this a bit. We're just going to dip in and out. Don't worry, we're going to come. Just turn to chapter 15, verse 1. Perhaps you are facing somebody angry this week. Chapter 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How wise that is. When faced with an angry person, don't make it worse by being harsh yourself. Reply with a gentle answer. And often, not always, but often, the whole thing can cool things down. Now back to chapter 1. This is my definition, and I'm going to give it to you up front, I think, to help us understand the way that Proverbs functions. Wisdom is being able to understand and the inclination to choose the right and best course of action as we trust and obey Jesus. So I'm thinking about this as Christians, as we must do. So wisdom is the ability to distinguish right from wrong. It is always wise to obey what God clearly reveals about right and wrong. It's always foolish to ignore what God says about right and wrong and to disobey what God commands. Wisdom is also the ability to distinguish between the good and the best when we're free to choose. Wisdom is for choosing the best course of action when we're free to choose, possibly with loads of possible choices, and God does not tell us what to do. Now, I want to illustrate this up front, right up front. Think about choosing a marriage partner. I know many of us are married, some of us are single. There's no verse in the Bible specifying the name of any future husband or wife of yours. But God does say in the Bible, we must marry another believer, we must marry someone who's not already married, and we must marry someone of the opposite sex. Now, it is wise as a Christian to obey those commands. Indeed, it is foolish not to. But within those limits, we're free. So we need wisdom. Wisdom is for choosing the best course of action when we're free and God does not tell us what to do. So just look, turn with me, dip in again, Proverbs 31, right to the very last book of Proverbs. Fascinating last chapter of Proverbs. Lots of things that could be said about it. Proverbs 31, verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? And look on to verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Back to chapter 1. Wisdom is helping us see through things that are less important, such as beauty. Beauty and good looks are not unimportant, but they're less important. The bags and the sags will get us all. Indeed, some of us have had bags and sags all our lives. Wisdom enables us to understand the things that are best, that is of first importance. Someone who fears the Lord, because we together want to serve the Lord Jesus wholeheartedly all our days. Wisdom is being able to understand and the inclination to choose the right and best course of action in trusting and obeying Jesus as Lord. Let me give you another wonderful example, and this one's on the sheet actually, so we don't need to look at it. Proverbs 26, verses 4 to 5. This is fascinating. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Seems to be saying the opposite. How's it work? So if you engage in foolish talk on foolish terms, there's a danger that you'll become like a fool. So at times, it is better to keep quiet. But at other times, you're to answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. At times, it's best to engage with him and show him the implications of his foolish thinking so that he, and presumably others who may be listening, are not stupid, so that he realizes he's not wise. See, wisdom is for choosing the best course of action when we're free and God does not tell us what to do. Then secondly, wisdom is for training real sinful people. Look at verse 2 of chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, king of the son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. We are selfish, imperfect people. We start life as sinners. And if you don't believe that, put 10 little children in the same room together and see what results. It will be squabbles and fights, tantrums, and lots of selfishness. We're not born as blank sheets. We're like bowls balls. There's an inbuilt bias to sin. None of us is naturally wise. Now, please remember that this book, the Proverbs, doesn't tell us how to get right with God. That is God, something that God gives us freely, as we've been praying, in the death of his son Jesus, and we'll come to that. But it is very helpful for us living as followers of Jesus. We need wisdom to acquire a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. So can I stress again that wisdom is not about being academically clever. It's one of the great things, that wisdom, we can be have no GCSEs, but be one of the wisest people in the world. Indeed, some of the biggest fools that I've met have been people who've got PhDs. Wisdom is for training real sinful people. Thirdly, wisdom is for all stages of life. Look at verse 4. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. I think the simple there means the person who's green, inexperienced, naive. This is for the young person who needs to learn life. Now, if you look down to verse 8, you'll see something which comes a number of times. In chapters 1 to 9, there are 10 sets of instructions from a father to a son. Look at verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And actually, again and again, the first 9 chapters, a section starts with something like that. This is wisdom for training the dependent child to help them to become an independent, wise adult. Let me say that when our two sons were growing up, we used to pick a proverb to read at the family tea table. And this was separate from other Bible reading that we were doing and prayers we were doing. And we would just reflect on it and talk about it. And sometimes we didn't have much to say about it, but other times it led to a wonderfully fruitful conversation. And it really worked very well. Can I recommend that? We don't read the Proverbs enough. I wish I'd done it more with Johnny and Ben, actually. Maybe a chapter every month or whatever. But look at verse 5 of chapter 1. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Here are the people who've been learning wisdom all their lives. No Christian graduates from wisdom studies. There are people in this congregation who are wise people, but you have just retired or are planning retirement. Each one of us is capable of being a fool tomorrow if we become complacent or self-confident. Indeed, look at the person who these Proverbs are in the name of, possibly a writer, another writer's gathered them together, the Proverbs of Solomon. He was wise, but by gosh, he became foolish at points in his life. You see, wisdom is for all stages of life. Then fourthly, wisdom often repeats herself, but in different ways. Wisdom often says the same things again and again, but in slightly different ways. And there is much about, for example, let me say, there's much about wisdom in the wisdom literature here in Proverbs about faithfulness in relationships and the foolishness of sexual immorality. Just look, turn over to chapter 5, verse 1. Would you? And you get this theme again in chapter 6 and chapter 7. Again, the same kind of themes and the same warnings. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall and sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are wicked, but she knows it not. See, wisdom paints a graphic picture of sexual entrapment and captivation. Warning. Wisdom often says, think about the consequences. Sexual immorality always leads to death. Just saying the same things again and again, and come back to lots of different themes. Now, why is that? Because wisdom observes life in a sinful world. Wisdom observes life in God's created order. There are certain principles, as we'll see. But it observes life in a sinful world. And in chapter 10, and do read this week, the writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, begins to jumble lots of Proverbs together. It's one of the great challenges of reading Proverbs. How does this follow that? And, you know, whatever. So from chapter 10, there are wise sayings about all kinds of things. And preachers get frustrated by that. We like to gather them together, which is exactly what we're going to do. You know, little themes and do one or two themes. But the writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reflects life in God's world. That's me. I think it's probably you. This week, Monday will not just be the day that I lust. And Tuesday will not just be the day that I'm greedy. And Wednesday will not just be the day that I'm lazy. And Thursday will not just be the day that I'm tempted to be rude to people. And Friday will not just be the day when I'm tempted to think that riches will give me security. Life's not like that. I can be lazy and lustful and greedy and rude every day. And so I think this wisdom literature is all mixed up together, because this is what life is like. This is wisdom for real sinful human beings, and I need to hear wisdom again and again and again in different ways. Fifthly, wisdom draws us to reflect and meditate. Back in verse 5 of chapter 1, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. See, when you hear the law of God, it's crystal clear, isn't it, what we ought to do? So God says in his law, you shall not commit adultery. Crystal clear. And rightly, we tremble and we obey. But Proverbs are different. The wisdom writer comes alongside us and says, why not stop a moment? Think about this. Have a look round. Ask a few questions about what you see and observe in God's world. You see, there are often observations about life in God's created world, a world of order, but there are also observations about life in a fallen, sinful world that's gone terribly wrong and is completely messed up. Think of Proverbs like a boiled sweet. They're not like the Christmas chocolates. You know the Christmas chocolates? They get wolfed down in about a few seconds in our household. But boiled sweets have to be sucked, don't they? And it takes time in Proverbs to see all the riches that are hidden in them. Stop, you see? Stop. Observe. Reflect. Meditate. And be wise. I've put down on the sheet, the writer invites us to consider the ant. When was the last time you considered the ant? He could have picked actually one or two other animals from the animal kingdom. Look at chapter 6, verse 7. Go to the ant, you sluggard, you lazy person. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food. See, the writer's saying, let's stop. Consider the ant. Look how hard he works. Just gets on and works, you know. See an ant hill? Gets on with his business. And, of course, the contrast is with the lazy person. How long will you lie there, you sluggard, you lazy person? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. They're great fun, aren't they? Great to think about. Stop, observe, reflect, meditate. Then sixthly, wisdom is found in relating rightly to the one true God. Look at verse 7, that kind of concludes this opening section. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And later in chapter 9 it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Just reflect on that. If you want to understand any subject in life, from marriage to medicine, from love to law, from happiness to history, the foundation for a true understanding is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, as we learned earlier, is that attitude that says, look, God is God and I'm not. He's the creator, I'm not. And he has both the right and the wisdom to tell me what life is all about, how it's to be lived, how I'm to understand things. Now, that is completely counter to our Western secular culture, isn't it? Even though our culture has been built on Christian principles, They have been being undone at an extraordinarily rapid rate. Now, many want to say to adults and to our children, freedom means not letting anyone else tell you how to live. So trust your own judgment, live by your own wisdom, define reality and right and wrong for yourself. But the Bible says that the idea of absolute freedom will actually harm and indeed dehumanize us. Because we're not wise enough to define reality and right and wrong for ourselves. We need God to do that. That is what makes us truly human and truly free. Wisdom is found in relating rightly to the one true God. But then seventhly, and as we read this, we're going to have to think about this. Wisdom is found fully in Jesus Christ. It's the next point on from point six. Remember that the aim of this book is not to tell us how to get right with God, but how to live wisely in God's world and with God. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the promise of the Old Testament. The Lord, that is Yahweh there, the capitals you see, the God of Israel, has made himself fully and finally known in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is nothing more foolish than the person who says God hasn't made himself known, when he's done exactly that by sending his son Jesus into this world. And being wise will be worked out in all kinds of ways. In the light of the coming of Jesus, it'll be wise to admit that we are sinners. There's nothing more foolish to think than that my sin doesn't matter in God's world. There's nothing wiser than to know and believe that there is a judgment day coming. And my sin, if unforgiven by Jesus, will take me to hell. There's nothing wiser than to know and see that Jesus died for my sins. That's why he came into the world. How wise to receive him and his gift of forgiveness and new life in his name. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, the Apostle Paul says, Jesus Christ has become for us wisdom from God. Wisdom from God. Jesus is wisdom, the wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And once we are wise and trust Jesus as Savior, we're to grow in wisdom. Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 3, I put it down, that in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They were hidden, but now they're revealed in him. And the Christian, this is wonderful, doesn't it? The Christian has a lifetime of growing in and enjoying those treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Jesus. And we continue to be wise by obeying Jesus and his words. Think of Matthew 7 that we heard read. But then there are many situations when we're free in Christ and we need wisdom. Wisdom is being able to understand and the inclination to choose the best course of action in trusting and obeying Jesus as Lord. Wisdom is the ability to distinguish between the good and the best. Whether to marry, who to marry, which house to buy, which job to take, which college to go to, how to deal with that person, how to deal with that this person who's very different from that person, how to deal with this situation, how to deal with that situation, how to act, all very different in God's world that is messed up by sin. Here's a great verse to carry with us into this week. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. We need wisdom all through the week. How do I deal with this person? How do I deal with that person? How do I deal with this situation? How do I do that situation? And God is only too delighted to give us wisdom if we humble ourselves before him and think and reflect and meditate. He will give generously to us. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the richness of this book of Proverbs, which we've just begun to dip our toes into. Please help us to do as the writer of Proverbs wants us to do, to slow down, to read, to think, to meditate, to reflect. Please help us to be wise in obeying your commands. Thank you that so often you make it crystal clear how you want us to live. We thank you that wisdom is found fully, finally, completely in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is our holiness, our righteousness, our redemption. And please help us too to be wise in all the situations that we're in and with all the people that we encounter and all the decisions that we have to make where we are free. Thank you for this great promise from James that we can ask you and you give generously to all without finding fault. You'll give us wisdom. Please help us to humble ourselves in prayer before you this week and to think how we can act wisely in your world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.